The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. It's day three of the St. Ledger meeting at Doncaster, featuring the Flying Childer Stakes, the Mallard, the Doncaster Cup and the Mayhill Stakes. So some good racing to come on town more on Friday. There's also Chester and Sandown in the afternoon, Salisbury and Down Royal in the evening. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
Yes, good, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Enjoying Doncaster. It's been good as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Really competitive 4 days racing, isn't it? And I think it's good that we've had added Channel 4 coverage. Of course, five races on Thursday and Friday due to be broadcast on Channel 4, which is great news, bringing the show to a wider audience. And it's a really good meeting. It sort of signals that autumn proper is here, doesn't it? Although, looking outside, it doesn't feel like autumn's arrived yet, Mark. The ground is still riding pretty decent because of the dry spells that we've had.
Yeah, it's been very dry. And I suppose that is to the detriment of Kingston Hill in the Ledger, which obviously takes place on Saturday. 5-2 at the top of betting with us at the moment, but spoke to the traders earlier on in the week and said he's been pretty friendless. So unless the rain arrives, he might struggle.
I don't think it's due either, Mark,
no,
is it?
I don't think so.
So that might throw the St. Ledger even more wide open than what it already is. I can't remember a Ledger as wide open in recent years, certainly. There's no horse that I really fancy in the race at this stage.
Yeah, there's no real standout performer, is it, this year? And that's reflected in the size of the field as well. I think it's the biggest field we've had in the Ledger since the 80s. And
yep.
You could give several of them a chance. Would you? Where would you be leaning towards at the moment?
I do still think Kingston Hill is the class act in the race, Mark.
And, yep.
Whilst he would prefer a little bit more juice in the ground, I don't think it's going to be riding very, very quick on Saturday. Of the others, maybe one at a price, Alex My Boy could hit the frame. We know his stamina is assured and he's still improving, that horse, Alex My Boy. Looking in my paper, I see here at William Hill we have him in at 14-1 in the paper. Is that still the case?
Yeah, still 14, yeah.
I think he might be one at a bigger price, but I do think Kingston Hill sets the benchmark.
Okay, that's coming up on Saturday. We've also got the Irish Champion Stakes on Saturday as well, and confident comments surrounding Australia as we record this.
Yeah, I see no reason why he shouldn't take all the beating once again, as he has done all season. Of course, his only defeat came in the Guineas. He has the beating of the Grey Gatsby, the second favourite on that race at York last time out, the Germans International. I see no real reason why the Grey Gatsby will reverse form other than if Australia underperforms. So for me, I think it's pretty simple. Keep to Australia. I think the Grey Gatsby is the most likely to follow him home. It's very unoriginal, but they look the two for me.
Yeah, 1-3 for Australia in the betting. The Grey Gatsby is 11-2, Macadram 11-1, 12-1 for Al-Kazim, and 14s for Trading Leather, and then you can have 100-1 for either Alcacer or Kingfisher. So, 1-3. It's a pretty solid 1-3 show, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think the bookies were going to give much away with regards to Australia. It's a race they'll just look to get out on, almost. I can't imagine it'll be one of the major betting heats of the day either, with given that we've got a string of competitive handicaps at Doncaster and, of course, also at Leopardstown that day.
Yeah. Okay. Just a quick look back at the first day of the Ledger Festival as well before we move on to Friday's action. And we'll start with the Scarborough Stakes, the listed race on the card. Mecca's Angel running out a pretty tidy winner in the end.
Yeah, she's good, this filly, isn't she? She's very quick, Mark. And she's still improving based on the evidence that we saw yesterday. It looked a competitive Scarborough Stakes. I didn't think there was a standout performer, but there were a lot of very solid Group 3 / listed horses in it, and Mecca's Angel blew them away with a really sharp turn of foot. I'm amazed to see that Connections haven't got her in the Prix de l'Abbé, and they're not really talking about the Prix de l'Abbé for her. Whether that's as a result of her disappointing when she went to Maison Lafitte last time. When she was beaten in Maison Lafitte, she'd had a couple of quick runs, and I think many people attributed her defeat there to the busy schedule that she'd faced. But there's also the small chance that she just didn't travel as well, Mark. So maybe that's why, and Connections haven't said that. But no, certainly she is a fast improving sprinter, and she's very much worthy of a step up in grade.
What do you make of the runner up, Reckless Abandon? Obviously, a very good 2 year old, dual Group 1 winner as a 2 year old. Not so good at 3, then proved to be sub fertile at stud. Back on the racecourse now, do you see him ever getting back towards the Group 1 level?
Probably not, but for a second run back from stud, I don't think it was a bad run at all. He had a lot of decent horses in behind him. And we've seen many horses in recent times return from stallion duties, having failed to do the job and not be as successful on the track. Notably, Star Spangled Banner, who was at Group 1 class before he went to stud and didn't appear anything like as good when he came back from stud. Reckless Abandon has shown that he retains a lot of ability, but possibly isn't going to hit the heights that he did as a younger horse.
Okay, we must mention the success of Bob as well in the Ledger Legends race, ridden by William Hill Radio's very own Dale Gibson. Get the Gibbo, and well, he got the job done in good style in the end.
He did, yeah. He was delighted with himself, wasn't he, Gibbo, giving his stick a wave in the air as he passed the line. And we all know here that it means a lot to him, doesn't it? You know, he puts a lot of time into this race, and the money that's raised during the meeting, particularly yesterday with the Ledger Legends race, and it was good to see him get such a thrill out of it. And I think they were predicting around £100,000 being raised for charity yesterday, which is fantastic. You know, anytime you can raise that amount of money, it's a very worthy cause, and I'm sure a lot of the jockeys or ex jockeys that were riding in it were only too pleased to see Dale win it. That said, we might be a little bit sick of it come the end of the month here in William Hill. I'm sure we'll all know about it when Dale's back in the studio.
Yes, I'm sure I'll be talking us through the race.
He's not the shy retiring type, is he, Dale?
He's not, no. Good news as well to see Kelly Harrison finish second as well. Also, friend of the show, if you want to put it that way. And good front running ride as well. Just unlucky to get pipped in the end.
It looked as though she might have nicked it aboard Jen Arb. Yeah, would have been nice to have seen Kelly hold on. As you say, she did a couple of shifts. Well, more than a couple of shifts, a few shifts here, a couple of years back, and she's working in a different line now to racing, but obviously still is very much in touch with it. And she was an able rider before she retired, so it was no surprise to see her do as well as she did in the saddle.
Anything else stand out to you on Wednesday?
Not really. I think the racing gets better as the week goes on, understandably. Mecca's Angel was the standout performer. Salatine put in a nice performance in the Racing Post Trophy. He's entered in the Racing Post Trophy, I think, in the nursery. And interesting that Kevin Ryan says he's a big strapping type who will make a nice three-year-old. So it looks like it could all be in front of him. Angelic Lord had run in some good races of late, the July Stakes last time and the Coventry the time before that. Of course, those races have worked out fantastically with Ivorwood coming out of the July Stakes, Frank in the form, with a string of others, and the Wow Signal coming out of the Coventry and Frank in the form. Two very strong races, so it was no surprise to see Angelic Lord get his head in front for the second time following a maiden win at Ripon earlier in the year.
Yep. Okay, we'll leave that there, and we'll move on to Friday's action. We'll get Sean's thoughts in three of the races at Doncaster next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, then on to Friday's action. Sean's picked out three races on Town Moor for us, and we start in the 140, which is the Flying Childer Stakes, a Group 2 for two-year-olds over 5 furlongs, and 15 of them in the lineup here, and several of them with leading claims here, Sean. It's quite open.
Yeah, it tends to be the case nowadays with the Flying Childers, doesn't it? You get different types of winners each year. So to say, Green Door, last year's winner, was an 18-1 shot. The year before that, we had Sir Prancelot winner. He was favourite. And in recent years, Requinto and Zebedee have proven winning favourites. But it doesn't always go to the favourite, this race. I think this year's Renewal looks as competitive as ever. It tends to be a race that lacks a star. Many of the classier two-year-old colts have maybe stepped up to 6 and 7 furlongs come this stage of the season. Mark, this is one for the real speedballs, isn't it? And we've got several of them lining up. I think the two races to focus on with regards to form lines are two races that we had at York's Ebor meeting, the Roses Stakes and, of course, the Gimcrack Stakes. Several horses that contested those races are meeting each other again. We'll start with the Gimcrack Stakes. That race was, of course, won by Muhara, and three horses that contested that race that reoppose here are the third placed Alan Emirati, the fifth horse Accepted, and the sixth Beacon. Alan Emirati's proven a very versatile horse this year, having run over trips varying from 5 furlongs to 7 furlongs, and he's proven pretty adept at each of those trips, although maybe it looks a more speedier type than I'm sure his connections initially thought he might be. He was third in the Norfolk at Royal Ascot, then stepped up in trip, was second behind Cool Company over 6 furlongs at the Curragh. Didn't seem to be as good over 7, 2 starts back at Goodwood, but that was a rock solid effort in the Gimcrack last time out, when only beaten half a length by Muhara. Accepted was just under 3 lengths behind Alan Emirati that day in 5th. That was only his 3rd career start. He won a couple of races in Ireland prior to that, and it was a decent enough run. He improved a little bit. I'm sure connections had hoped he would have improved more, but there's still time with him only having had the 3 runs. Beacon, his prosperous early part of the season might just be catching up with him, and it's possible that his form has just levelled out. He was 3rd at Goodwood in the Malkin behind Cotai Glory. Cotai Glory takes his chance again in this race, as does the 2nd from that race, Fast Act. I think Cotai Glory would be the one of those three that I'd be focusing in on here. Mind of Madness won the Roses Stakes at York last time out, beating Moonraker by a nose. Those two reoppose here, and there shouldn't be a lot in it between them again. And interesting that Joe Lyons sends over Anipe, his speedy filly, who was a victor in Listed Company last time out over the Great War. That certainly wasn't bad form, and she's been snapped up by Qatar Racing subsequently, so she would have to be a player. It is a very, very wide open race, this Flying Childers, Mark, but I'm probably just going to side with Alan Emirati on the back of that very good run in Group 2 Company last time out in the Gimcrack.
Okay, moving on to the 210 at Doncaster next, which is the Mallard Stakes, a big handicap for 3-year-olds and older over the extended mile and 3/4. And we do have betting on site at the moment as well for this wide open handicap, and it's 6-1 the field, with Adventure Seeker the market leader at the time of recording. Storm Machion is 13-2, 8-1 for Elidor, Big Thunder 10s with Pearl Castle and Retirement Plan and Sir Walter Scott, 12-1 for Farquhar and La Hague, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. You've got a couple in this, Sean, so what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, we'll start with the two that we run. The shorter of the two is Pearl Castle, who's held his form very, very well all year. You know, he's been a model of consistency both on the flat and over hurdles, and he seems to be holding his form well at home. The slight concern will be that he is eventually going to go over the top. He's been on the go a very long time, and you just get the feeling that it might be sooner rather than later that he does. But he, as I say, he seems well at home, and on the track he shows no sign of relenting. He's running off a mark of 92. I think he has wins in him off 92, but I could see him playing a minor role again. Whether he's quite good enough to win a race of this nature, I'm not so sure. The other horse, Great Hall, was a horse that I fancied to run a big race in the Ebor. He actually finished last in the Ebor. But if you go back and watch the race, he travelled powerfully into it. But when turning into the straight, he hung violently left, and he actually came back. He was lame in his shoulder,
right,
which was why he hung so badly. He's had the back man or back woman to him 3 times since, just to put him right, and we're very happy with the way he's moving now at home. So of the two, he'll be a much bigger price, and for me, he's the classier animal of the two. I think he's got a big race in him. Whether it's today, in the Malada, I'm not sure, but he's no back number. He could have been better berthed in stall 14. Pearl Castle has the better draw of the two in three, but Great Hall is a horse that I have a lot of time for, and as I say, I do think he'll be winning a big one sooner rather than later. This is a good race, though, as you'd expect. Several horses that contested the Ebor at the Ebor meeting at York reoppose here. The horse that came out best of them that day was Elador. He finished third. He's a model of consistency. I just don't think he's got a lot of room for manoeuvre off his mark of 102. He ran off 99 last time out, up £3 to 102. It's going to take a career best effort from Elador. And whilst he still is only a four-year-old, and further improvement might be forthcoming, I'd just look elsewhere on this occasion. Retirement Plan was a winner at Ascot, two starts back. Finished fifth in the Ebor at York last time out. Handicap has put him up a pound, but I'd expect him to be competitive. I certainly think he could win off his mark of 100. And Sir Walter Scott ran a big race for one so lightly raced. In the Ebor, he finished seventh again, not beaten far, 6.5 lengths that day, and you'd imagine there could be further improvement in Sir Walter Scott. So, of those that contested the Ebor against R2, I would probably rate Sir Walter Scott as the biggest danger. Adventure Seeker was another horse who ran at the Ebor meeting. He ran in the Melrose Handicap, the three-year-old handicap, over the Ebor trip of 1.6 miles. He ran a very good race to be beaten 3/4 of a length by Vent de Force. Handicap has put him up £6, but that would seem fair given how competitive that Melrose Stakes was. And I think there's still further improvement in Adventure Seeker. So getting the weight for age off his elders, he'd have to be a big, big player. So the three for me would be Adventure Seeker, Sir Walter Scott, and I wouldn't rule out our horse, Great Hall, running a better race than he did last time out.
Okay, good stuff. On to the final race we're going to look at, which is the 240 at Doncaster. This is the Doncaster Cup. It's a Group 2 over 2.25 miles for three-year-olds and older, and it's part of the British Champions Series, the oldest race at Doncaster. And the betting is headed by Estimate, who's 6-4, 7-2 for Time's Up, Clever Cookie is 11-2, 6-1 for Whiplash Willie, Angel Gabriel is 10s, and then 12-1 or bigger price as the rest. So Estimate, a pretty short price favourite. What do you make of the Queen's Filly here?
I think she's got a very, very good chance. You know, I think she'll win. The Doncaster Cup tends to be one of the weaker cup races of the season, just given the way it falls. Plenty of horses have contested the Ascot Gold Cup, the Goodwood Cup, mm-hmm. the Lonsdale at York a little earlier on in the season, etc. And then those types of horses are maybe being prepped for something like a Melbourne Cup now. So a lot of them do miss the Doncaster Cup. Of course, Estimate is a filly or a mare who holds an entry in the Melbourne Cup. She was second behind Pale Mimosa last time out at York in the Lonsdale Cup. Time's Up was third in that race, 2.25 lengths behind Estimate. And whilst Time's Up has a great record in this race, having won it for the last 2 years, seeking a hat-trick this year, I do just feel that the filly Estimate is the better of the two, and she will be a tough nut to crack. Clever Cookie looks well worth a try at this trip, given how well he's been staying on in his races of late. And the Ebor last time, he was sixth in that, doing his best work at the finish. Steps up 4 furlongs. But he's a National Hunt bred horse, and I don't really see it being a problem for him. Angel Gabriel was fifth in the Lonsdale behind Time's Up, and of course Estimate. I'd see no reason why he should reverse the form. And yeah, I'd just be very sweet on the Queen's Filly here.
Okay, Estimate then to win the Doncaster Cup. Good stuff, Sean. Thank you very much. Let's have a quick summary of your selections before you go.
Yep, sure thing, Mark. In the 140, the Flying Childers, I'm going to side with Alan Emirati in a very open race, a good renewal of the race. In the Mallard Stakes, the 210, I'm going to go with Luca Kamani's horse, Sir Walter Scott, as my main selection, and I'd have to have a little bit on our horse Great Hall, who does rate a lot better than he was able to show last time out at York. And in the 240, the Doncaster Cup, I'm going to go with Her Majesty's Filly Estimate to go one better than she did last time out at York in the Lonsdale Cup.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy our Doncaster.
Many thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Friday's racing. You'll hear it on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capel will be the team in the studio. We have day three of the St. Ledger meeting at Doncaster. There's also Chester and Sandown on Friday afternoon, and Salisbury and Down Royal will provide the action in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.